What is going on in the RBB for the super exciting solar eclipse coming up on Monday, August 21st? I know when that is. Who are our guests this morning?
We have Jerry Sanders, the assistant superintendent of schools at the RBB, and with him is Jamie Miller, a STEAM coach. Now, that's science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
Well, those are some good people to talk to. Good morning. How's everyone today?
Good morning. We're doing pretty well.
Well, we heard the automated message last night that the RBB sent out. It was your voice, Jerry Sanders, on that recording. Why did you feel it was important that you needed to get that message out on a Monday, a week ahead of the solar eclipse that we'll see next week?
We are delaying dismissal on August 21st. In order to provide our students with an opportunity to view the solar eclipse. The peak of the eclipse is at 2:24, exactly the time that our junior high dismisses school. So we wanted to delay the dismissal by 15 minutes to give teachers and students an opportunity to view the eclipse in a safe environment with safety glasses, protective glasses, and just really maximize the learning event, but also maintaining a real safe environment.
Jerry, how long have the RBB schools been preparing for this event?
We've been preparing, I would say, maybe probably about three weeks to a month.
Okay. And obviously, letting them out and then them being on a bus and looking at the eclipse would not be a desirable thing to do. What you say you've taken steps to make sure that they're safe in looking at this. What are those steps?
Well, number one, we've done a lot of research. Our STEAM coaches have been researching the best glasses to purchase. The exact times that the eclipse will happen, activities that the teachers could do to make this a meaningful event. So there's been a lot of preparation ahead of time. Tomorrow, the STEAM coaches will be meeting with teachers in each school to go over. They have PowerPoints that they're going to go over with the teachers explaining what the eclipse really means, what they could do with their students. How to be safe during this whole event.
Let's talk to Jamie and find out her role in all of this. Jamie, what as a STEAM coaches, you coach the teachers in what to do. What are you telling them?
Hi there, this is Jamie Miller, one of the STEAM coaches. And we are, as far as coaching the teachers, we're really trying to cater to each grade level. Obviously, the needs of these kids from a standpoint of safety, but also curriculum, is going to look very different at every grade level. So our team, our STEAM team as a whole, we, the three coaches, address K-2, 3 through 5, and then 6 through 12. So as individual coaches, we're working with each of those staffs in those buildings, and it's going to look a little different at each level. For example, the kindergartners are looking at some of the webcast options for the kids to be able to enjoy the outside experience and be a part of that as much as the teachers see fit, but also really appreciate the actual display of the eclipse itself from a safe virtual perspective, whereas with the older kids, we're really pouring into some of the safety components first so that we can make sure that that's taken care of, and then they can address some of the deeper science content that they can really get into there.
Jamie, we saw that some counterfeit eclipse glasses got out there. What did you do to make sure you got the right glasses for the kids to use?
Good question. Our first line of defense on the glasses was really taking care of those that we're purchasing here first for the students. Chantal will be able to speak to some of the resources. She's very much our science content expert, and we just really wanted to make sure we stayed ahead of that. So before ordering, we tried to be diligent about checking the NASA recommended vendors. I believe there are 5 total that they recommend or that they're endorsing, if you will. And then from there, I think all 3 of us in our buildings have really tried to then kind of backfill with teachers and parents and make sure that at home they're understanding why we're going with those approved vendors, and also that if they're purchasing glasses themselves, I know I've reached out to a few parents via social media and said, whoa, hang on, here's my 2 cents. This is what NASA is recommending, just so that they're being safe at home as well. They're part of our school community.
Now, Jamie, I'm not in your school. I'm obviously too old for that. But what can you tell me that will help me as a non-student about the eclipse? What are you trying to get the students to understand? What do you want them to notice?
I think the biggest thing, because it's not a common event, because it doesn't happen every day, depending on the grade level, they may or may not have some of the Earth and space science in their science curriculum much at all. So we're kind of starting at the foundation level. What is a solar eclipse? How does it differ from a lunar eclipse? What does it look like? What to look for when you look for that? But then also from there, we're really getting into some of the citizen science stuff. And how does this look for our community? How can we use this experience to impact some of the data in our environment and make observations around us about the plants and the animals and the weather patterns and everything from the length of shadows to how it impacts kind of the living environment around us.
What are some of the myths that go along with this? We don't see it very often, so you kind of get all this information like you're drinking through a fire hose. Everybody wants to tell you all the things that are going on. Give us a couple things that just aren't true that we're going to hear in the next couple of days.
Sure. We have heard some funny ones. I'm going to actually let Chantal talk to you, our 6-12, our secondary coach. She is very much our content expert, and she was just sharing with us some of the funny misconceptions that people have.
All right, Chantal, you better do this in an entertaining format. I want true or false question format. Let's do it.
Hi there. This is Chantal.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. What are some of these myths we're going to hear about here in the next few days?
Well, one of the myths that you might hear about, although, frankly, most of these myths date back to days way before the internet and scientific explanations for eclipses.
Right, so when everybody was hanging out at Stonehenge having a cup of coffee.
Right, exactly. Back at Stonehenge, they felt that if you left your food out, it would be poisoned by the eclipse. Yes, any food left out in the shadow of the moon would be poisoned.
Wow.
There was a concern that pregnant women might be harmed, their fetus could be harmed if they viewed the eclipse. There was some concern. Australian Aborigines apparently at one time believed that the shadow of the moon covering the sun was caused by a tribe of Aborigines who lived on the moon who were not pleased with the way things were going on the Earth. And so they were...
Well, the one thing that we've learned over the years is our imaginations haven't stopped running wild, that's for sure.
That's true. And in Louisiana specifically, apparently the lizard man may emerge during...
The lizard man,
the
wow.
lizard man. Also
but
known
we don't
as
need
the
to worry about
man.
That in Indiana.
No, we don't. But what we do need to worry about, animals, your pets, farm animals, they'll react a little differently, won't they?
Potentially, probably less your pets and more your wild animals. You may hear crickets chirping. Believing that night has fallen. If you have chickens, they may be a little concerned about heading back to the roost to go to bed because they think it's nighttime.
Chantel, so, let me ask you a question because I've heard this. Depth perception because of this becomes a problem and colors become weird colors because of all of this?
Yeah, that is a possibility. I think that you may notice that your vision shifts a little bit, but it's not a permanent sort of
right.
thing. It's you'll everything will go back to normal. It's just an abrupt change between the light and the dark.
Well, you're getting ready for it. It's on Monday, and what do you want the kids to come away from all of this with?
Well, it's interesting, I was listening just yesterday to an interview with one of these eclipse chasers who makes it a point to go to every...
Well, they don't have a lot of work, do they?
Yeah. Well, there's an eclipse, a total eclipse, about every 18 months.
Okay.
They're just in different places. We won't see another one here until 2024, at which time Indiana will be in the path of totality. But... What I heard was that people who view a total eclipse have a change in perception of sort of the vastness of the universe and our place in it. And I think it will be really interesting to talk to the students and to see, you know, whether they experience it as a large event in their life or just, you know, maybe we're so jaded by the availability of things on YouTube and the internet that it will just be another entertainment thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because with 2024, that's not like Halley's Comet where you have to wait 80-something years or wherever it
right.
is. It is right back around the corner. And it seems like every year we find another maybe or 18 months or so an astrological event, whether it's the super new moon or it's, all this stuff's been going on for a long time, but it's been there all the time, right?
It's been there all the time, although in about 600 million years, we will no longer have solar eclipses because the moon will move that far away from the Earth.
But
it
wow.
will no longer cover the sun.
Well, Keith, I got some bad news for you.
600 million years?
Yeah.
I don't know if
that's
I get,
how the math works out, though, and it's very interesting, and to see all this stuff in the sky is very interesting as well. If parents, if guardians, if grandparents, if friends and relatives need more information, Chantal, where's a good place to go to get it?
The very best resource that's available to everybody is the NASA website. If you just Google NASA eclipse, it'll take you to a absolutely wonderful website full of not only safety information, scientific information about the eclipse, activities you can do, build your own pinhole viewer, become part of the citizen science group to input, provide data to a massive national database about the eclipse. There's everything you could want on the NASA website.
Yeah, it looks great. I just went to it to check it out. It's very cool. And remember, this is safe to watch on TV. This is safe to watch on the internet, but you probably don't want to be staring at it outside. Let's remind all of our young aspiring astrologists and astronomers that that's not the best thing to do coming up on Monday.
No, and do not rely on regular sunglasses. Regular sunglasses, when it
good
darkens
point.
The you know, your vision, your pupils actually open wider, so they do not keep the rays of the sun out, but you, since they've opened your pupils wider, you're actually going to be in more danger if you try and view it with your regular sunglasses. So definitely do not do that.
Well, Chantal, we want to thank you. We want to thank Jamie, and we want to thank Jerry Sanders, the assistant superintendent, the STEAM coaches, and assistant superintendent for all this great information, and we'll look forward to next Monday.
Hang on to your hats. Make sure you're geared up there scientifically and with safety as well. Thank you all for your time this morning.